Hello and welcome to Live and Local with BB Bernadette Lynch. That was Saved Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry. I thought I had a challenging name. We have a brilliant show lined up for you tonight. We have music, we have guests, and we have chat till 10 p.m. Shall we do it? Family Affair and Mary J. Blige. Hello, how are you? I wasn't going to say it's great to be back, and it is great to be back, of course. But you know who's in the studio with me? The Moth. The Moth's back. Which means I wear my dad's cardigan. I've had to fold my dad's cardigan up and put it in a carry bag, because I've just bought some milk, and folded that all up so the moss can't get in there. And then I've zipped my handbag so the moss can't get in there. Because if I take that moss home, I'm not allowed to swear on the BBC, and they're making it really, really hard for me. Hey, let me tell you about tonight's show. We have co-director, I love this project, co-director of the wonderful Museum of Ordinary People, Lucy Malone. And Lucy's going to tell us about MOOP, the Museum of Ordinary People's brilliant new project, These Times. My brother Patrick will be suffering BB's personal playlist. And in a few minutes, legendary pop icon Marty Wilde MBE will be here to tell us about his new album and his lockdown. It's going to be a great, great show, so please stay with us. And that, of course, was Marty Wilde and A Teenager in Love. And I'm thrilled to say legendary pop icon Marty Wilde is here now. Hello, Marty.
Hi, baby. Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I'm in a good mood today because I won at golf. And that's... That's such a rare event. I think I was throwing a huge party.
I remember my dad came to golf quite late in life and was beaten by a 15-year-old girl once and sulked for about a year.
See some of the teenagers up at our golf club. They're half the size. They're only about, I suppose, 12 or 13. Yeah. They hit it way past us. They're the youngsters of today, anyway. Great to be alive.
Oh. How long? What's the term for golf? Is it handicap? What's your handicap?
17. But today, for anyone who plays golf who knows what I'm talking about, on the back nine on Stapleford, I had 23 points. That's just on the back nine. That's pretty good.
Is it?
It's pretty rare as well.
I've
it's like, you know what I mean. It's like.
Where are you right now, Marty Wilde?
Sorry, Pat.
Where are you right now?
I'm at home in Hertfordshire. I'm at home and I'm sitting in front of my computer and I've been listening to part of my album, actually, make it dealt because there's such a lot of work to do on different things to do with the album. So this is where I am at the moment.
So you're locked down. Well, you've been shielding, haven't you?
I don't know. At my age, you need more than shielding, mate. You need all sorts of things, I think. But it's a scary time. It is scary. I must admit, it's one of the most frustrating times for all of us, you know. Particularly for me, I'm worried about the theatre, so worried.
Yeah.
I want to get out there. I want to be in front of people singing and... we're all the same. We're all frustrated.
But your tour's been postponed, hasn't it? You actually did have a 50-date tour lined up?
Yeah, that's been moved to, I think it's May of next year.
Right.
May and June. So it will take place, hopefully, you know, obviously it will. So myself and the Wildcats, you know, we're ready to go.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I was, so of course, when I knew you were coming on the show, I was like, I just need to listen to loads of Marty's stuff. And Teenager in Love, I love that track so much. And there's a great video on YouTube, obviously. And I had a little look tonight and I recognised the drummer, Brian Bennett.
No, it's Neil, my drummer. No, it's Neil. Oh, which one were you looking at, though?
Oh, the original, when was it, 56?
Oh, Teenager in Love you're talking about. Okay, because I did another video quite not so long ago. Okay, yeah, that was Brian Bennett, and it was the great Brian Bennett. Still one of my best pals. Still a great drummer as well, my God.
Amazing drummer. Isn't he drummed on something like over 100 number one singles or something like incredible
yeah,
like
I
that?
Yeah, I can believe that. You know, his talent is awesome.
So tell me about the album. So it's called Running Together.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's an album I started about 2.5 years ago, and I didn't. Instead of doing a usual rock and roll album, I felt that I'd come to the end of that kind of situation, recording-wise. would still obviously feature almost shows are all nostalgia shows. But I wanted this last album to be self-penned. All the songs I wanted to be part of, so that I'd either written or co-written them. And so that's what I did. I spent 2 years, the last 2 years, doing that and getting it, because I arranged, as well as recording, I arranged and sang, obviously, on them. And, yeah, so five of the songs, I'll feature my daughter, Roxanne, who was a backing vocalist with Kylie Minogue and for many years, and also Kim. Kim's on one of the tracks, so we sing together. So it's it's probably the last album I'll ever make, but who knows? But
you don't know that.
Yeah, well, you never know. But I mean, it's been a great joy to do. It's been
how lovely that it was a family affair, and you co-wrote some of the tracks with Ricky as well.
Yes, I did. And I got Cambodia was one of our hits where Rick and I had, and then another song which I wrote with Peter Shelley was Love Me, Love My Dog. That's on there.
Yeah.
So I did a couple of songs that had been featured before. The rest are, most of them are original songs.
We've got a lovely text just come through. This is from Julia in Brighton, who says Marty Wilde's records were better than the American versions.
Oh, well, some of them weren't bad, but I'm biased because I'm a big fan of Bobby V, so obviously I prefer Bobby V's version of Rubber Ball to mine, but... yeah, I mean, I thought that I did a good cover version on, not bad on Teenager in Love. I thought End of Sleep wasn't bad. I'll give myself 6 out of 10 for it.
You're in a really unusual position. We're going to play Running Together in a second, but you're in a really unusual position of, so you would have covered tracks, so you're performing another writer's music, and you've written loads of hits for other people as well.
Yeah.
And it must be, it's a really generous thing to do, to be a songwriter and give it to another artist, isn't it?
No, strangely enough, don't ask me why. I am self-centred, the most self-centred man that's ever been, I would imagine. But when it comes to songs, it's rather strange. It's always been my pleasure to give anyone a song. Peter Shelley, who had Love Me, Love My Dog, was a friend of mine at the time. Well, still is, a big buddy, a big friend. And I love the fact he was in the charts. The same for Kim. Obviously, she was my daughter, but and also with Status Quo, Ice and the Sun, you know, and Jessamine was another one that I was thrilled to bits that my song, the public even liked my song. So,
that's so lovely. And Tom Jones, Hot Chocolate, Snow Patrol, it's extraordinary,
yeah,
it's brilliant.
It's just any time you have a hit or a really good artist record your track, it's a tremendous flattering thing, I can tell you that. It makes you feel great.
Does it sometimes surprise you? Does it sometimes surprise you that they took it to a place that you hadn't thought of?
Yes, that happened with Ice in the Sun, because we did a demo, Ronnie Scott and I, who I wrote it with. Ronnie and I, we did this demo, and it was quite sort of, so maybe it was definitely old-fashioned, and that's the way I heard the song, an old-fashioned harmony song. But then when I heard this huge guitar sound, I thought, what in goodness name is that? And of course, mm-hmm. It was the start of Ice and the Sun, but their version is great. But it just took me back. When somebody else does a thing like that, it takes you by great surprise.
Must make it keeps it fresh, doesn't it? Keeps it exciting.
Does, particularly with the Status Quo, because they are Rossi and the boys, you know, a very inventive band.
Yeah.
And they always stamped their records with their own sound, which is what I loved.
Yeah.
So it was very flattering for me to have it in the charts with them.
So we're going to play Running Together now, and I want to talk a little bit about the video, because I love the video to this. So you ready to hear your own track?
Yeah, okay.
Is that always weird? Okay.
Okay.
This is Marty Wilde and Running Together. Marty Wilde and Running Together. I love that. You've got two things I love. Well, you've got a million things in that track that I love, but I love a key change and I love a good clap.
Well, it was a song. It's just based on fact. It was written really about my family and how at one point we we were struggling to kind of get things together, and we just kept trying and not to give in. That's what that song's about, really. Not to give in, keep going. That's why I think it resonates with what's been happening with this COVID situation. I didn't write it for COVID, but I wrote it, a year and a half ago. But it kind of just says, keep your head up, keep trying. We'll beat it.
Do you know what I love about that? Because when I watched your video, so Roxanne's in it, Kim and Ricky and you, obviously, and I was thinking, they all just get on so well. What a lovely family. And I was thinking, if my family tried to get together for a video. But I love what you're saying then. So, keep at it. We can all get together.
Well, you've got to. I mean, in the song, it says there, we felt we were under some kind of a spell. I felt we were. Are we ever going to get out of this situation? Are we ever going to have a hit? That's what we were after. Yeah. We wanted to get a hit. And then right out of the blue, we just kept going, trying hard, writing harder, and we came up with Kids in America, which was Kim's, first hit, which was the breakthrough. But it started from being really down in the dumps and not wondering, but again, that voice keeps calling, keep trying, don't quit.
So the video's out next month and the album's out in October. And as you say, in May, you're going to be touring. Is recording and performing, is it still a buzz for you?
Oh, my goodness me, yeah. I mean, I adore performing. I love going out in front of an audience. It's just fantastic. I mean, if I can make someone happy just for a brief time or take them back in time to a great those great years, it's fantastic, and it's great. It's fabulous. It's all round, really. It's great. It's fantastic for your ego as well, particularly if they like you. And it's the same with writing. We're writing. I've always tried to paint pictures with my words. I try to make every song I ever write almost like a film, and I always see them in my head when I'm writing them as a film. And that particular song I saw as us as a family, my wife and Kim and Ricky and all our sitting there, how are we going to do this? How are we going to crack this nut? And eventually doing it. So it's wonderful.
So you have had, what an extraordinary career. So, wrote Kids in America and Cambodia. You've had your songs covered, as we've said, by Tom Jones, Hot Chocolate, Snow Patrol, Lulu, Brilliant Lulu, top three hits, TV's Oh Boy, and appointed MBE for services to popular music in the 2017 New Year's Honours List. What's been the most showbiz moment for you in your career? What's the moment you're like, I can't even believe that happened?
Probably when somebody came in. I was in Diggs in 1957 when one of the guys from the band who was with me at that point came in and put the record mirror, opened it up and put it in front on the breakfast table as I was about to eat my breakfast. And he said, you're in the charts. And it was just unreal. There was Endless Sleep. It just come in, I think, into the top 40. And I'll always remember that.
I love that you're still loving it. It's so brilliant. So look, people can get hold of you and find out what's going on martywild.com for all the tour details and the release dates and everything. Good luck with the album. It's so brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Really lovely to speak to you.
Oh, it's great to talk to you, BB. Good luck with your show and your life.
Oh, thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Let's take a look at the weather. Dry this evening with late sunny spells. Overnight, it will then remain dry with clear spells and areas of patchy cloud. Gentle westerly winds. Minimum temperature 9 degrees Celsius. That's 48 degrees Fahrenheit.
BB Lynch. BBC. Radio Sussex.
Oh, that was a prompt. That was sooner than I thought. Scissor Sisters and Take Your Mama. Julia, wow. It's a great track, isn't it? So I know you know this already, Julia, but martywild.com, and you'll have the album details and the tour details and the videos out next month, and it's a really cute video. What a lovely man. What a lovely guest. So our next guest is here. Welcome, director of the Museum of Ordinary People, Lucy Malone. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, BB. Hello.
Where are you?
Currently on a boat in Northamptonshire, randomly.
What's going on?
I'm in a boatyard on the side of the canal. Just, you know, that's how life rolls, or should I say, that's how life floats at the moment.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Are you on holiday?
No, well, normally I'd be working at events and festivals in the summer and kind of this would be my busiest time, and it's not. So I'm sort of just,
You don't have to justify it to me, Lucy. I don't think I've spoken to anyone on a boat before.
I know, I did think, I was like, should I go somewhere, you know, more?
Well, you sound really clear, that's good. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. Yeah, I've just had a bit of a day off. It's kind of, time's a bit different on the canal, so I'm quite relaxed.
I think time's different anyway. So my thing is, I think days are whizzing by, weeks averagely going by, months slowly going by. It makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. It's funny, I did think time would be a lot slower at the moment, and it just doesn't seem to be. And it's just sort of suddenly it's sort of the evening. And I think as well, you know, people are like, oh, I'm going to have time to do this, this and this. And then at the end of the month, I'm like, did you do it? Like, no.
No. Pacing it. Yeah, but do you, I mean, you wear many hats, so I bet you're, you know, super busy all the time. And I do quite a few things, and I usually get about 20 things done in a day, and now I'm 1.5, and I'm like, yeah, I've done it. I've peaked today.
I've got no idea how I actually got everything done when I also have to go out into the world. Or when I did all these different things. But I'm quite liking it. I think just saying at the moment, you know, we're living in a kind of culture of busyness.
Yeah.
And when it's like that, where's the space for kind of things or creative things? But yeah. Somebody said that recently and I just really liked it. I thought that's a really nice way to look at kind of this current climate, I guess.
And it might be something we kind of keep from this time, mightn't it, and take forward with us. So tell me first of all about the Museum of Ordinary People, the award-winning Museum of Ordinary People.
So we're a pop-up museum, which I guess in the current sort of time quite handy. We haven't had a full building to maintain while not being able to open.
Where do you pop up?
We're all over the place, really. Currently, we're Brighton-based, but we are about to do a project in New Haven, and we are able to sort of go everywhere, really, anywhere where people have got stories to tell, which is, as you know, everywhere. Our first exhibition was held in the Spire in Brighton, which is a beautiful old church.
I love it there,
venue. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. That was a challenge because I sort of walked in the first day and we were like, oh, there's no walls. You know, it's all beautiful windows. Like, how do you put up an exhibition in here? So we sort of had to create a sort of museum within the church.
You don't want to put blue tack on a stained glass window, do you?
Not really, no. No. We had a very generous sponsor of a scaffolding company who helped us sort of construct almost like a set within the space. So we kind of worked in the spaces that we've got. This May, we're about to do our 2020 exhibition as part of the Brighton Festival at the Phoenix. But obviously, COVID happened, and so we've had to reschedule that, sadly.
And the premise of the Museum of Ordinary People, so, and I love this quote, this is from your website, serves as an antidote to celebrity mania and the well-established canon of museums celebrating the lives of the elite. I think that's great.
Good. Yeah, too. Basically the idea is that, you know, quite often in history books, it's all about kind of the state or you know, sort of stories, yeah, exactly, like about the elite. And what we do is try and challenge that by asking people who have collections of their own at home, whatever it might be, maybe a collection of letters or even sort of just random objects.
Oh, Lucy, say that again. We lost you then. Say what the collections might be.
So all sorts of things. They could be letters, diaries, random collections of different objects, all sorts of things that help people to work with the world.
I tell you what, Lucy, I'm going to play a track, and if you don't mind, we're going to call you straight back. Can we do that?
No, of course.
Let's do that. Hang the set, Lucy. The amazing Lizzo and Juice, Lost in My DM. I mean, that's a lyric for the times, isn't it? Lucy Malone,
Hi.
Captain Lucy Malone. that sounds better already. Say something. That sounds much better. So you were saying the kind of projects that people have. So it's collections of letters and photos and anything normal, I guess.
Yeah, all sorts of things, diaries, but it also can be collections of objects. You know, some people have sort of a collection of buttons or their grandma's sewing pins, you know, all sorts of things. Basically, something that tells a story. And we work with people in workshops. We teach about museum practice and collecting and curation. And then we also sort of work with them to explore creative techniques. And then they create their own exhibits.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
I love that. And you're bringing it right up to date. I mean, I guess you couldn't. So there's the project now is kind of around the virus. So it's hashtag these times.
Yeah. Well, basically, we just started working with our 2020 participants towards our Brighton Festival exhibition when all of this sort of, you know, started. Obviously, we had to curtail the in-person workshops, but we felt it was really important for them to have a space to kind of still process what was going on. And at the same time, we also have a journal project that travels around the UK and people write a story in it and then send it to somebody else. It's sort of like a travelling museum in a way. They talk about an object. And so we realised how important journal writing and a kind of writing practice is, not only for people to have a way of processing things, but also as a sort of record for the future, for researchers and so it's quite important to us to collect things, and being a grassroots organisation, you know, to kind of collect things, not let big institutions do it and sort of dictate how it goes. But yeah, we had an absolutely crazy response. I thought maybe like 10 people would be interested.
Yeah.
And we had over 100 emails in the first 24 hours. And so it's just before lockdown. I went round delivering anyone that was in Brighton that wanted to take part. I sort of delivered sealed journals to their doorsteps. And then, you know, people kept asking us about getting involved and so it went nationwide, which has just been
incredible. Really love this idea. So there was a tweet today, and this isn't scaremongering, so don't be scared, any mongers out there. Don't be scared. It's the bubonic plague was found, a case of the bubonic plague was found in China, and they were saying, but it's okay, it's, you know, it can never be a pandemic, it's treatable with antibiotics and no one get worried about that. But what was interesting about that, there was a tweet and alongside it was an image from a depiction of the bubonic plague, and the headline on the tweet was something, or it was a feature of the tweet was linking to, and the headline was something that so many social policies and legislation changed after the plague because of people's take on life afterwards. And it's really interesting, isn't it? And I wonder if that will happen now, and the kind of things that people are putting in their journal will be the stuff that will kickstart these changes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've already had interest from researchers and sort of people wanting to work with us when these journals come in. The interesting thing is it's very hard to work out when to sort of stop people.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we sort of said, to keep going until about the 15th of this month, because we felt like, you know, people were sort of coming out of lockdown. Then we've had a couple of participants who are based in areas where they're having a local lockdown. It's like, well, maybe you should keep writing. And so, you know, it's quite difficult because, you know, everything sort of changes day by day, doesn't it? We've had people approach us recently saying, oh, I'm not a participant, but I've been writing a diary the whole way along. Can I send you stuff? And we're like, of course, you know, the more the better, really. It's very much about having everyday experiences. Some people are sticking in receipts and, you know, talking about their new recipes, all sorts of kind of everyday things. That's what's important for us.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a recipe for you. Have you heard of button soup?
No.
No, I'll share that with you off air. But it'll blow your mind. I think you should keep doing it, and I'll tell you for why, because I think this is a really interesting time in this whole period of time, because I think it's so almost impressive how we adjust so quickly. You know, they talk about the new normal. We've had 10, 20 new normals within this already. And this emerging stage, hopefully is the final stage, is just as traumatic for some people in terms of how to do it.
I think you're right, yeah. And we've had some amazing sort of very personal emails. We have a really, like, it's really interesting as an organisation that people sort of contact us in quite a, you know, quite a sort of personal way, and we talk sort of, you know, try and reply to everyone individually. But it is sort of some, at the beginning, you know, a lot of people were having quite, you know, emailing us with quite sort of intense things that were happening. But sort of now it is the same. I think some people are struggling to come back out of it because, yeah. It, you know, I quite like sitting at home quite a lot and, you know, at some of the points. And like I said, not being so busy, but then other times it's more difficult. You know, I think it's very different, isn't it, for people? And so I think.
So what do you think then? So if people still got in touch now, you would look at what they're sending through. Are people sending through like drawings or songs or poems as well as like journal entries, recipes?
Yeah, a lot of people have been sort of sending photographs, or they've been drawing in their diaries. Maybe they've written a line a day, but then also a drawing or all sorts of things, really. We've had some digital entries and we've got a real mix of sort of age of people. So we've got, I think our youngest is 8 or 9. Oh. And so it's a really interesting wide range of people as well. But yeah, if people send us things now, I think if people sort of say, can I start writing now, it wouldn't really work because people have sort of been detailing this whole kind of, you know, lockdown period. But if people have been writing the whole way through or have been drawing the whole way through or want to send us something digitally to kind of say, hey, would you be interested in this, we're definitely up for that for sure. And you know, we also collect things, like we've been collecting kids' timetables and the NHS, you know, the rainbows. Not that we've taken those yet, obviously, but you know, we're interested in ephemera as well because that sort of tells an everyday story.
And where will we see this? Where will this be? Is it all going to be online?
So we're working on that at the moment. We are interested to work with spaces to create exhibitions. We have a couple of potentials in the framework, pipework, is that the saying?
Yeah. Pipeline.
Okay, thank you.
You've been at sea too long.
I really have. And then also, yeah, we'd like to do something online. We're interested in how you sort of catalogue things and how you categorise things. And so we'd like to maybe try and create something a bit innovative online as a way of sharing people's experiences. We will see.
Yeah, it's such a great idea. What does MOOP have in store coming up when we, you know, say next year? let's go far ahead there.
So we are rescheduling our 2020 Brighton Festival exhibition, which was called Home. And it's an immersive exhibition, so people explore a home that we've recreated and will find and uncover people's stories through their collections and their artworks throughout it. We're also interested, because obviously I think people's perceptions of home have really changed through this period, so we're interested to sort of weave some of that in potentially. And that's going to be at the Brighton Phoenix. And we're also, what else are we doing? Potentially working, in New Haven, with a project that's coming up there, which is a window walk, which is where people are going to create their own museums in their windows. So it's a way of being able to...
I really thought you meant it was walking on windowsills, and I had a sudden, my heart went.
Who knows? That could be next. I mean... And that would be a very different new normal. possibility.
A very real possibility.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's been quite interesting. We've been working really, really hard, and we filled our board in our new office, which we just got in January, with all these things that were very exciting that we were doing. And at one point I had to literally wipe the board off, and it was just quite heartbreaking.
Yeah. So
I'm, you know, we're on it, we're working, and like still working with our participants. We've been doing virtual workshops with them, and so that's all still coming along.
I think MOOP sounds so brilliant. So Lucy, if people have been writing, they can maybe still get in touch, so they can email you museumofordinarypeople@gmail.com.
they can, yeah. We also have a contact form on our website.
Okay, and
museumofordinarypeople.com.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. Lucy, are you wearing a life jacket?
I'm actually not in the water. It's on blocks at the moment, the boat. To be fair, I'm that clumsy that I probably should still be wearing a life jacket.
Someone's stolen your wheels.
Yeah, basically.
Lucy, this is such an extraordinary thing. Well, look, be safe wherever you are. End up. I don't know where you're going. Project sounds fantastic, and we will see you soon, hopefully.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, I almost forgot the name of the track. That was Madonna and Hung Up. I almost forgot the name of the track because I was so busy looking at producer Ollie's beautiful hair. Oh, look at him. Looks like he's 12. How old are you? 22. 25. All right. Blimey. Don't get it wrong. You're touchy today. Welcome to the second hour of Live and Local with Bebe Lynch. Thank you for joining us tonight, me and producer Ollie. please get in touch. Text me on 81333 and start your message with the word radio, or you can call.
Call 0800 232 1045.
BBC Radio Sussex.
Now, you know I love this show. But you know, this is the bit of the show that I really, really love. And it's called Bebe's Personal Playlist, which I think is appalling. It's such an appalling name. I'm wearing flip-flops, and producer Ollie wonders if flip-flops, someone that was drunk sometime somewhere and came up with the word flip-flops and then said, we've got to create something that works with the name. I'm wearing them. And the opposite way, we've got this great item, Bebe's Personal Playlist, and it's such a terrible name. So if you have ideas for a new name for this section, please let me know. And the idea is that people are spending more time at home, possibly listening to more music, enjoying music, using music as an escape sucker, if you will. And maybe they're making mixtapes like in the good old days, or playlists even. And we want to start a movement here where we ask you to make mixtapes or playlists for your loved ones, and I'm doing it. I make playlists for three songs that remind me of my loved one, a friend, someone I've got on the show, and I gift them the gift of music. And this week's Bebe's Personal Playlist victim is TV Supremo.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you too.
Oh,
well,
lovely.
And my brother, Patrick Lynch.
Hello.
Hello, Patrick.
Hi, thank you for the invite.
Thank you for the music.
Thanks for the music, yeah.
Producer Ollie said, is it okay if I call him Paddy?
Yeah, but, you know, there is history of me not enjoying being called that, but I'm in a very generous mood. So, yeah, fine.
What else do you not enjoy being called?
Any place that I go for like work, because I freelance, I always leave that job with everyone calling me like a female version of my name. And I've not encouraged it or anything like that, but Patrice, Patricia, Patrizio.
Patsy
is a popular one.
But what about, is there a name from childhood that you love being called?
What, Pat? is that what we're going for? Because I didn't love being called that, and I don't know who coined it. It's one of six of you. But
honestly, wasn't me. Pat, how did we meet?
I don't know. I just kind of turned up and got in the way, I think.
You were a very easy birth.
Was I?
Well, actually, no, that's not true.
No, I always heard I was really difficult, actually. Yeah, I heard I was on the longest.
Well, Pat, can I speak?
Sure.
Sorry. So I'm the eldest of seven, and Patrick, you're the baby.
I am.
You're the baby. And are you 20 years younger than me?
I think I'm 19 years
younger.
So
you're, what, 15?
I'm 15 years
young. Very deep voice.
Yeah.
But no, you had to be induced.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you had to be induced.
Oh,
and do you want to know something else about you?
I
think they induced you and they got the dates wrong because you shouldn't have been induced. You were quite hairy.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. I didn't know I was induced. That's quite dramatic.
Yeah, it's quite dramatic. You were a beautiful baby.
Oh,
and you're a beautiful man. You are very, 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 very handsome.
Very kind. There was a very long period of chunkiness in between.
No, I think you always just looked lovely. You always had the... Yeah, no, you were a gorgeous boy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, kind of getting a bit bored now of lockdown. But
are
I'm,
you?
I'm just watching a lot of Netflix. I can't complain, though, because we're all in it together, aren't we? So
apparently.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm just eating to forget. I've put on a stone.
Oh, I'm not even counting. I look different now. I'm eating much more. I'm eating like a big bar of chocolate a day.
Oh, Pat. Well, we obviously are related. So all those years telling you were adopted, it's not true. We are related. But I'm on. Have you heard about my button soup?
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen some pictures of this. Yeah.
So I've moved on from not just button soup, but now. See, I don't have a freezer little compartment in my fridge, right? But I've started craving choc ice on stick. So I'll go and buy them a packet of four and then have to eat them on the same day.
Well, it's a race against time, isn't it? It's very... it's like an episode of 24 or something, isn't it? Very tense.
I mean, I'm out of control. Are you worried about TV going forward?
Oh, it's all very... So I've actually been very, very lucky because in the freelance world, I know some people who have just not worked at all. So I've been quite lucky. But yeah, it does feel a bit strange. Like, I don't know how things are going to go moving forward in terms of, you know, making sure everyone is 2 meters apart behind the scenes as well as on camera. No audience. And just the whole kind of office etiquette, which is very much kind of, well, all one way now, isn't it? Not allowed to face people.
We've got that here. Yeah.
Do you? Yeah. Well, yeah, it's very strange. But EastEnders is back, thankfully. They're back on course.
Are you teasing me?
No, it's back. They're filming. I don't think it'll be on screen for a long time, but I've seen some pictures.
And are they doing storylines around COVID?
I don't know. I kind of feel that soaps shouldn't get involved because we don't know how COVID's going to go. Don't get involved because we don't know. There might be a second spike. We just don't know. So I think if the soaps are going to go there, they have to commit to that now. Yeah. And I just think, you know, we know it's not real. We know there's no Wolford. So let's just pretend there's no COVID. Well, hang on. Sorry. No, I retract that. But it's not everything that happened in the last 20 seconds.
You know, the war or the wars, I know I am older than you, but I don't remember them. I wonder if they were covered in, like, would there have been the equivalent of soaps on radio? Do you know what I mean? If there was anything long going and long standing and long running, was it covering the wars? Was it talking about them?
Well,
I don't know.
I guess it would be, but I don't know what soaps were around. How old are the Archers?
I don't know. I was thinking that radio. do you know, what's your best memory of me? I know you really love it when I hate people. And EastEnders.
I mean, we're not allowed to say there's a certain person in EastEnders who you're kind of immovable hatred towards them always entertains.
I don't know.
It makes me sweat.
But what I love is A, you, and B, I've chosen songs that remind me of you. So if you were going to think of an artist that I was going to play because of you, what would you think?
Well, I think I talk about PJ Harvey a lot, so I'd imagine maybe. So is it a song that kind of reminds you of me? So is it a song that we've kind of talked about in the past, or is it...
Well, here's...
How does it work?
It's... I'm going to play something.
Lovely.
PJ Harvey, and this is Love. Oh, Patrick.
That was lovely.
Wasn't it?
It really was. What's the etiquette? Are we allowed to talk over? I guess not.
Well, not for the whole song. I mean, no, you're allowed to have a little, you're allowed to have a reaction. We love a reaction here at the BBC.
Oh, boy.
Other emotions are available. A reaction is not an emotion, is it? I mean, I don't know.
Well, don't know.
It encompasses it. I mean, it's part of it.
Yeah. Same family, isn't it?
So why do you love PJ Harvey?
Oh, I don't know, really. I mean, I guess I was thinking about her the other day because, like, in terms of I was listening to her and I thought I've listened to her every day since I was, like, 16.
Really?
Yeah. Because, there's such a body of work anyway. And each album's just brilliant and very different from the last. She's playing more instruments than she was in the last one. She just is constantly pushing herself. And I think she's always, you know, she's not one of those people that just does all the hits at like a gig or anything. Yeah. It's all about the new stuff. And I just, yeah, just I adore her. I think she's amazing.
Have you ever met her?
No, I never want to. I just worry. You know, it's not. It rarely works that well when people meet their heroes, does it?
No, it doesn't work very well at all. Yeah, I think of you. I think of PJ Harvey, but I didn't realise every single day since you were 16. I didn't realise you were an obsessive. I just thought you were a fan.
That is a bit strange, actually, isn't it?
So there's another artist or act that I think of you. Have a little guess.
Is it Meatloaf?
Why would it be Meatloaf?
I just remember having this really weird thing for Meatloaf when I was younger. not in a dodgy, you know, not in a romantic way or anything, but it was just...
Seriously, and nothing you say will make this okay.
It's the theatre of Meatloaf.
Oh, it's the theatre, darling. Bat Out of Hell, obviously.
Well, actually, I'll Do Anything for Love, but then I went into the Bat Out of Hell. Oh, okay. Then I explored his
oeuvre. Yeah. Yeah. When I I've got a tattoo.
Yes. That for many years our dad didn't know about.
No, and I did something really bad. I wore a vest at a funeral because what was he going to say at a funeral? That was my thinking. What's he going to say at a funeral? He didn't know for years, did he? When I was getting my tattoo done, I was waiting nervously in the waiting room, thinking, I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing. And obviously I'd sold the idea to a magazine. So there was a photographer there as well, and my then boyfriend. And then a man came walking out of the room where you have the tattoo, red-eyed from crying, holding the Bat Out of Hell album. And he was having the whole album put on his back. It's quite a busy cover, if you remember it correctly. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah, wasn't there like a motorcyclist coming out of a bat or something?
Out of hell. There was the cyclist.
Out of hell.
Out of hell. All of it, Yeah. We shouldn't... Bat Out of Hell, though. Maybe, are we allowed to play that anymore? What with the situation? I just thought of it. not Meatloaf.
Who could it be? Is it someone that... Is it Radiohead?
Oh, finally. Yes, your favourites.
Well, yeah, they are.
I know they are.
Why every day since I was 40 and I've listened to it.
Straight before and after, PJ. Why do you, what's the Radiohead thing for you?
It's weird because my friend Danny, we went to school together and he was really into Radiohead and I really was against Radiohead just to annoy him, just to oppose him. So I kind of stubbornly didn't listen to it. It's depressing music, da, 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 just winding up. For years I did that. And then when I was 16, I actually listened to an album. And I got really into it.
You loved it.
I really enjoyed it, yeah. And I don't know what it... I think it's because the first one I listened to was The Bends, which is just like straight up kind of, you know, rock hit, you know, just an album of really good songs. And then I started to kind of find all the more experimental stuff. I think he's got one of the best voices ever in the world, his singing voice, Tom York.
That's controversial.
Oh, I really do. And like when you listen to some of the kind of more stripped back versions of the songs when it's just him on a piano, it's unbelievable. And huge fan. But again, never want to meet him. Or them.
I guess because you wouldn't say he's conventionally got the best kind of voice on earth, but is it because it's especially emotive to you?
Possibly. I think a bit of both, actually. Like, I think his voice is very... I'm really rubbish when it comes to the terms of, like, notes and octaves and things like that. But his voice goes to a lot of different places that kind of...
A large range.
A large range,
there
if
you
go. Will. Yeah, yeah. But also, yeah, I think there is a kind of sentimentality there for me because I think, you know, it reminds me a lot of college, reminds me a lot of kind of certain people in my life as well. I think there is a lot of sentiment too as well. And also, they're just brilliant live. They're such a great band. They're so... I hate saying this about bands, but they're very tight. They're very tight for the band live.
Tight band. This is then Patrick Lynch, Radiohead and Pyramid Song for you.
Oh, lovely.
Radiohead and Pyramid Song for my brother Patrick. Was
that
fun,
thank
Pat?
You. That was very fun. It reminded me of at college, actually, because we did a improvised piece, like a half-hour piece. And we thought, yeah, you know, let's like be really cool and use like we use Pyramid Song. So we used that song in the piece. But then all the other six classes also used a Radiohead song. So we it was all very emo before emo.
Primo. Oh, boom.
Oh, lovely.
That was lovely. Oh, lovely. Can I ask you one simple question?
Yeah.
Why haven't you got my music taste? Everyone talks about they got their taste from their older sister, their older brother.
Yeah.
Why don't you like the Sweet Soul like me?
Well, I got into Macy Gray because of you. Yeah. I remember you really recommending her album. So I listened to that and I really liked that. But
good to
hear.
We
good
do
have very different tastes. But I like the stuff you like.
But you don't love it.
No, whereas you don't love the stuff I love.
No, I do not.
Although, I think I got you kind of into Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
Yes.
And they were good.
Yeah.
They're very soulful, aren't they?
And you bought me the that really great Kanye album. And I can't remember what it was called, but the light blue album cover. Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. I've got a final track to play for you. It's got no connection with you at all. It doesn't remind me of you at all, but it enables me to say something that I think will make you giggle. So it's a disco hit from the artist Rose Royce, and it's Car Wash, Rose Royce, disco.
Oh, lovely.
Darling Pat.
Yeah.
Where am I going to see you?
Soon.
No. I will see you soon, but where am I going to see you?
Owen, am I allowed to say it, or do you want to say it? I shall see you in disco hell.
I love you.
Love you. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's take a look at the weather. Tomorrow looks to be a dry morning with sunny spells. During the afternoon, cloud will tend to thicken, but it should remain largely dry. Moderate westerly winds, maximum temperature 19 degrees Celsius. That's 66 degrees Fahrenheit. Wednesday is expected to be a cloudy and dull day with outbreaks of rain, some of which could be heavy at times. Breezy, if you will. Thursday looks to be another largely cloudy and wet day with showers and longer spells of rain at times. And Friday, rain looks to clear to give increasing amounts of sunshine and perhaps a few scattered showers.
Phoebe Lynch. BBC Radio Sussex.
Charles and Eddie, Would I Lie to You? Yep. Our first upload tonight comes from Flora Ogilvy, who's currently living at home with her parents in Stedham near Midhurst. She wrote, recorded and uploaded a poem inspired by beautiful lilac trees in the West Sussex countryside earlier this lockdown. This is Lilacs.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
That's Lilacs, written and performed by Flora Ogilvy. Flora's an actress and voice artist and is currently in lockdown with her family here in Sussex. Are you writing and performing spoken word? If so, share what you're doing with us. Head over to bbc.co.uk/upload and send your stuff to us and we could feature it here on the BBC. Our next upload was sent to us by Tori Bond. Tori's based in Port Slade and has been keeping a blog during lockdown. She's recorded it and sent us week one. Here it is. Oh, Tori, I want to hear the others. I want to hear week two and week three. I want to hear where Tori's up now. That was Tori Bond with week one of her blog that she's been keeping during lockdown. I guess she's still keeping. Have you been making things at home? You've been writing, recording, upload it, and we could play it on air. Check bbc.co.uk/upload for details. Our final upload tonight is from Louis Vaz. Louis is a DJ from Hindhead and has sent us this garage mix.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
That's DJ Louis Vaz and his Garage Mix. Are you a bedroom DJ? Well, send us your mixes and we could use them here on the show. Head over to bbc.co.uk/upload to find out more. I need to say goodbye. I need to thank my guests. Thank you, Lucy Malone from Museum of Ordinary People. Thank you, my lovely brother Patrick. And thank you, Marty Wild. Thank you for staying tuned. Join us next week, next Monday, 8 to 10pm. And we will leave you with Ella Henderson and Take Care.
Police alleging they racially profiled her when she was stopped with her partner on Saturday. The couple had their three-month-old baby in the car with them but were searched and handcuffed by officers. Scotland Yard says the driver sped off when was asked to stop and there are no concerns about the officer's conduct. Ms Williams disagrees.
I tried to pull myself back into the car because I've got a baby. Like mother instinct kicked in and I'm not leaving my son in the car. He's a baby. And they were just so aggressive and I don't think they needed to be.
The Duke and Duchess of Sussex have suggested the history of injustice across the Commonwealth must be re-examined, even if it feels uncomfortable. They've been taking part in an online video discussion about fairness, justice and equal rights with members of the Queen's Commonwealth Trust. The sessions were set up in response to the Black Lives Matter movement. Prince Harry was speaking from LA.
Certainly when you look across the Commonwealth, there's no way that we can move forward unless we acknowledge the past. And I think so many people have done such an amazing, incredible job of acknowledging the past and trying to right those wrongs. But I think we all acknowledge on here that there is so much more still to do. It's not going to be easy, and in some cases it's not going to be comfortable. But it needs to be done because guess what? Everybody benefits.
People from the UK can holiday in Greece again from the 15th of July. From then, Brits can enter the country without having to quarantine when they arrive and when they return home. A high COVID-19 infection rate here meant British holidaymakers weren't included when Greece opened to international tourists on the 1st of this month. You're up to date. It's 10.03.